Hello, and welcome to the podcast edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews on baseball literature and other media. Pretty much, if it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. I'm your host, Ron Kaplan. Thank you for joining us, and please remember to visit our blog, ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf.com. Today is Friday, June 11th, and in preparation for Father's Day, we're going to be taking a look at two books that deal with daddy issues. The first is an interview with Bill Madden, author of Steinbrenner, The Last Lion of Baseball. In the second half of the program, we'll be talking with Jeff Gillenkirk, author of the novel Home Away, which deals with fathers, sons, and the sacrifices we make for our children. So enjoy the show. If you have any suggestions, please send them to ronk232@comcast.net. And let me know what kind of books you'd like to hear about, as well as what kind of authors you'd like to hear from.
We're speaking this morning with Bill Madden, author of the new biography, Steinbrenner, The Last Lion of Baseball, which is published by Harper. And I'm very happy that it has brought us a chance to talk with Bill this morning. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So are you working on your acceptance speech?
Well, actually, a lot of people have asked me that question, and I haven't really had time to get at that yet because of the Steinbrenner book having pleasantly complicated my life.
For those who aren't aware, Bill has been named winner of the 2010 J.G. Taylor Spink Award for Meritorious Service in Baseball Writing. So it's put you in some very august company.
Yeah, it really is. It's an overwhelming award. It's, you know, the Baseball Hall of Fame. There's only 30 or so writers in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and to be in the same class as people like Damon Runyon and Red Smith and Dick Young, it's like I said before, it's just overwhelming.
So tell me about the timing of this book. We all know that Mr. Steinbrenner has not been the best of health the last couple of years. Did that influence the release of the biography?
Well, it certainly influenced the writing of it. Obviously, I've been around George for most of his term as Yankee owner. I joined the news in 1978, so that takes in about 35 years of George. And he has had some serious health issues in recent years, to the point where I'm not sure if he's even aware that this book has been written about him. But it was time. Somebody was going to do this, and George's daughter, Jennifer, approached me about this about 4 or 5 years ago, and she said, my father's getting up there in years, and he's never done his book, and you should be the one who should do it, because you were the one writer that he was closest to, and you were around him the most. And so that, if nothing else, gave me the incentive to pursue the project. I was never going to do it with George. I think that's what she had hoped for, but that was never going to happen. He would have fired me after the first 5 minutes of our interview.
He fired you 2 days later.
Right, exactly, like he did everybody else in this book. So anyway, that was the reason why. I just felt like, you know, this was a book that was in me. I felt like I really did, not to sound self-serving, but I really did believe that I was the best person to do this book because I did know this guy as well as anybody who's ever covered the Yankees.
Which is what I was going to ask. Knowing him as well and as long as you do, how easy a book was this to do?
Well, that was not easy. I mean, it was not an easy book to do, even though I did know him that well. I did tell people, they said, did he cooperate with you? And I said, no, he didn't have to. I was there. But that said, this man has had an incredible life. And I had two challenges. The first challenge was to bring it in under 500 pages for the Barnes & Noble salespeople. And the second challenge was, as I told Barnes & Noble, the biggest problem we're going to have with this book is trying to sell it as nonfiction. Because no one is going to believe what's in this book and the stories about this guy. And he's had such an overwhelming career. I mean, this is more than a book, it's a miniseries.
Rereading the book, there are a lot of things that aren't terribly complimentary toward him. Since the family did approach you to write the book, have you heard from them? Have they seen this?
Pretty much radio silence out of Tampa. Although, as I told Hal Steinbrenner, who was the last person I interviewed for the book, I said to him, I said, Hal, this is not a hit job on your father, but it ain't going to be a Valentine to him either. I mean, you can't change history. This is the way the man behaved. This is the way the man was. And Hal said to me, he says, well, you got to write what you got to write. And I think I've been told by third parties that Hal is okay with the book. I think, you know, he had a difficult relationship with his father, as did so many other people. And, you know, I've heard from other friends of Steinbrenner's who said, in their opinion, it's a balanced and fair book because, as I said before, you can't change the way George behaved over these years. But at the same time, this is a very complex human being. He was a bully. He was a tyrant. He was also a benefactor to a lot of people that he didn't even know, put kids through college, hundreds of kids through college. He was a genius. He was a lunatic. All of these things, all wrapped up into one. And what you have is somebody who put together a syndicate back in 1973 to buy the Yankees from CBS for $8.8 million. George's out-of-pocket investment was $168,000. He had to borrow the rest to get his 11% share of the team, which was the largest individual share at that time. And today it is worth over $1.5 billion by Forbes magazine and continuing to climb. So that in a nutshell, along the way he won 7 world championships and was suspended twice from baseball, fired about 13 managers or 14 managers and general managers, and rehired a lot of them, and just was basically this gigantic bull in the china shop in baseball who had more impact on the game than probably any owner in history.
You write about the suspensions. One of the parts of the book I found most fascinating was the Howard Spira affair and how you note how ill-treated he was in this particular case by Faye Vincent, who was commissioner at the time. Could you speak a little about that, please?
Yeah, well, I agree. I think that's one of the most interesting chapters in the book because the general perception of what happened there was that George gave $40,000 to Howie Spira, who was an admitted gambler, to provide dirt for him on Dave Winfield and the Dave Winfield Foundation back in the late 80s when George was having this ongoing feud with Dave Winfield ever since from the moment Dave Winfield signed his $23 million 10-year contract with George. Part of that contract required George to contribute these huge sums of money to the Winfield Foundation. But as the course of the years went on, George realized that the foundation was not spending that money where they claimed there was to be spending it. He had a perfect right to be looking into what was going on with the foundation. Most people felt like George was just being a bully again and that he was trying to intimidate Winfield or whatever, and coming down on Winfield because he realized that when he signed the contract, there was this cost of living clause in there that was going to make it worth a lot more than it was originally believed to be. And that, in turn, had gotten George very upset with Winfield, which he really never got over. But anyway, what happened during the course of all of this was that Faye Vincent, the commissioner of baseball, investigated this whole matter and determined that George was, if nothing else, guilty of the first rule of baseball about gambling. He basically took the gambling angle, being that Howie Spira was himself an admitted gambler, and turned that into the grounds for giving George a lifetime suspension from baseball. And in fact, really, when the whole matter was looked into, you know, with thoroughly, you would have to say that if nothing else, George deserved a fine and really not much more. He certainly didn't deserve to be suspended for what happened over this whole thing. And all of this is detailed in that chapter. And it also led to the other owners who, at the time of the initial suspension, had no sympathy for George because they were all kind of looked at George as I said before, this bull in the china shop that raised skyrocketed salaries and basically ran the Yankees and ran roughshod over all of them. But as they looked into it and they realized that all the rights that George was deprived of by Vincent during the course of this investigation under baseball's rules of procedure, they realized that there but for the grace of God go they. And so they then sort of all of a sudden realized that maybe Vincent was the problem here, not George. And sooner or later, and not soon after, Vincent wound up being the guy, the man who was out, and George was left back in by his fellow owners.
Now, you did have this long-term relationship with him, and we talked about how difficult it was to do the book. Your goal is to be as objective as possible, but because of your relationship with him, talk about how difficult it was to, I mean, I'm sure there are things you knew that didn't get into the book for one reason or another.
Well, most of the behind the scenes meetings and conversations and things like that I had with George did get into the book. These were some of the things that I couldn't print in the Daily News at the time because they were sort of off the record or whatever. And now they were in the book, or they were. There was a one confrontation that he had with Gene Michael, which I was a privy to. And if I had written it at the time, it would have probably damaged my reputation and my relationship with Gene Michael, since it was kind of a private thing between him and George. But there were a few things, I guess, that I could have gotten into regarding George's family and things like that. But when I thought about whether or not do I want to include these things in the book, I thought to myself, well, if I do, perhaps it'll wind up being that the focus will be on those things and not on George. And this book is about George. It's not about his family. And I'll leave some of the personal family stuff. It is a very dysfunctional family. But I think a lot of that is common knowledge, and a lot of it, whatever is not common knowledge, I'll leave that to Kitty Kelly when she does her book on George.
Now, you mentioned Michael. These people are on the other side of the coin. These are the people who dealt with Steinbrenner professional relationship. What is their, have you heard from any of these people about the book and how they're presented?
Well, yeah, most of the people who, I talked to over 150 people for this book. Friends of George, enemies of George, employees past and present of the Yankees, and of George and American ship, and just basically almost anybody I could find that had even a remote relationship with George. And by and large, first of all of them cooperated with me, which was very gratifying because there's been a lot of people who've tried to do books on George in the past, and the Yankees or George's family have basically rebuffed them and put out the word that anybody who talks to whatever author had been trying to do a book on him, they do so at their own peril. With me, they kind of resigned themselves to that I did have this relationship with him, and I guess they figured they had their best shot with me. I don't know how else to explain it, but everybody did cooperate with me, and I've heard back from a lot of the people who were in the book telling me how much they really enjoyed the book, and they thought that I captured him well, and I captured them well, and that it was a very balanced book in their opinion.
Now that the book has come out and you're doing interviews like this and going on talk shows, and how is it being on the other side of the interview?
Well, it is a little strange because I'm used to being the interrogator. But it's been, you know, like I say, it's been a very gratifying experience because this is, up until now, anyway, is the book of my life. I've written four other books, but this was the big one, as I've told people, because it took me 3 years to do this book. I wanted it to be not just a good book. I wanted it to be right. I wanted it to be accurate, and I wanted it to be the definitive biography of a man who has had more impact on baseball than probably any other owner in the history of the game.
And I think you've done that job and done it very well, sir.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
We've been talking with Bill Madden, author of Steinbrenner, The Last Lion of Baseball. And Bill, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us. And again, congratulations on this Mink Award.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it.